Right, it's an advocacy group composed of dozens of companies and thousands of individuals, all of whom want to see governments, federal, state, local, get more involved in open source.
What is the holdup for most folks on being comfortable with using open source? Is it the security idea, the conception, and I guess it's a misconception, that since it's open source, anybody can do anything to it they want?
Yeah, a lot of folks confuse open source with, say, Wikipedia, where anyone can go in and edit anything they want. But I think once folks learn about how the open source development process works and that there are, in fact, editors, if you like, there are project leaders and gatekeepers and folks who have a vested interest in making sure that these projects work.
Mm-hmm. The idea of open source is obviously gaining a tremendous amount of respectability with this report from DOD. What did you see in it that you liked, that surprised you, or whatever? What struck you about it?
Yeah, so one thing that I liked very much is the emphasis that they had on practical advice. So a lot of folks read the DOD's memo from 2009 saying that it was okay to use open source, but there wasn't a lot of practical instruction, and that's what this lessons learned document provides. Specifically, they focused on communities and the importance of when you're creating open source projects, building up communities that can support the software. I thought that was very insightful.
What does that mean for the development process in software at DOD? What does that mean for the vendor community? What does that mean for the folks inside DOD that are managing these projects?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've been plagued for years with this, you know, it's almost a cliche now to talk about how stovepiped these DOD programs can get. And I think you've seen the DOD try to fix that a number of different ways. You've seen projects like Forge.mil that is meant to be a platform where communities can build up around kind of internal open source projects, if you like. I think the idea is that the more people who get involved in the software that you're developing, the more people who use it, the better off that software is going to be. And I think for vendors who are providing software now, it's actually in their best interest to start looking at where they can best start using open source and starting projects of their own.
You mentioned the 2009 report where DOD said it's okay to do this. Is this new piece from them kind of a directive, or what's the nature of what's included here?
Yeah, so this isn't a directive as much as it's guidance, right? So it's an answer to the question, how do I consume open source software? That is, what are the laws and regulations involved? And how do I produce open source software? And this is, this is a lessons learned document, right? So it's full of practical advice. So it's, whereas the 2009 memo was an actual policy memo, this is really more a piece of extremely helpful guidance.
You mentioned some of the rewards potentially for using open source software, especially at DOD. Are there risks?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's still software, right? So I think a lot of people feel as though the risks of open source software are somehow different than the risks of proprietary software. And in fact, you have the same set of problems, right? In a proprietary model, a company can go out of business and you're stuck supporting that software yourself. In open source communities, developers can abandon projects. Whether it's open source or proprietary software, you still have to do a certain amount of due diligence to make sure that the software you're using will work in the first place, but then also be supportable over the long term. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you see a lot of folks in the DOD and in the civilian side consuming open source when it's, you know, supported by a company. It just makes it easier for them and significantly reduces the risk.
What difference does the kind of project make when it comes to determining whether you want to go open source or go in a different direction? Does what the end use is going to be make a difference at all?
Yeah, I mean, you really do have to look at the goals, and I think we can go back and look at past successes the government's already had. And one thing I'm thinking about is the Navy did some work on adding some real-time capabilities to the Linux operating system, right? That's a good example of running open source in places that provide undifferentiating value. There's other cases where open source is great for technology transfer. A good example of that is the NSA's SE Linux project. There's open source as an exit strategy. You got the U.S. Air Force has their Falcon View mission planning application. That went open source because the software was getting to be at the end of its life. So there are a number of specific uses where it's extraordinarily helpful. But again, it all depends on the mission and what you're trying to accomplish.
If I go open source on a project, what is my responsibility back to the community that's developed the code in the first place?
Oh, that's worth about 30 pages in that lessons learned. I think that's you can think about it as a balance between rights and responsibilities. That is, making your code available to an open source community can have tremendous benefits. You've got much more agility. You can get more surface area to the project. You can get more surface area for good ideas coming into your project. But at the same time, it does require an additional investment of time, and you have to cultivate a community. Here at Red Hat, we sometimes refer to it as gardening in the community, right? You need to pull weeds and water the plants. And again, it's an additional responsibility, but we think in most cases the investment is more than made up for by all the benefits you get from the community.
But what if it's a project where I really don't want to release it to the community? I'm satisfied with, say, I'm working with your company on support, and I'm satisfied with the brains that I'm working with you guys. Do I need to necessarily let everybody know what I'm doing? I can see where that would be a headache at DOD.
There are a number of different ways of getting involved in open source, and the way it usually works is people will start by just using it, and they don't need to actually participate in the community. They can treat it just like any other piece of software. You get a contract with Red Hat, and you're off to the races. But over time, what we found is that especially the more sophisticated customers will start to understand that there are actually real benefits of getting involved in what we call the upstream communities. They actually want to get involved and go to the place where the software is actually made and add new features of their own or fix their own bugs. So it's not for everybody, but for those that are in a position to do it, they can get a tremendous benefit from that. So you really have a number of options.